Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, may we be encouraged in Jesus Christ. May we be challenged in our relationship with you. And Lord, as we look at your word, and as we celebrate what we call Palm Sunday, help us to recognize the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have all seen the bumper sticker that begins something like that. Proud parent of my, and then they fill in the honor student, whatever school it is. Of course, I also saw one that said, my student can beat up your honor student. I don't know that that's a great one, but anyway, yeah, there's times that, you know, we want to, hey, you know, you're out there at the game, and that's my boy, and we're proud of our children or our community or whatever, something special that goes on that we want people to recognize and to see those that we're proud to be associated with. Now, we also have another one that's maybe not. Maybe it's your team is very bad. This began with the New Orleans Saints years ago. They're a lot better than they were then, but their fans started to wear bags over their heads so they couldn't be recognized as a fan of that team. And here's a poor Detroit Lion fan a year when they were questioning whether they were going to win a game all year. And you say, I'm their fan, but I don't know if I really want to be associated with them. Now, we also have something that's taken place in the news recently, and I don't know if you recognize those people, but what's been the big question? Do they want to be associated with the royal family? Does the royal family want to be associated with them? And the question of, do we want to be recognized with these people? In Philippians 1, verses 27 through 30, Paul challenges the church at Philippi, as well as challenging us, that we're called to represent the gospel and Christ well. Let's look at the verses. Beginning in verse 27, Philippians chapter 1, it says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. You, it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear is in me. Now, Paul begins this passage of Scripture with the word only. And that reminds us that this is the most important thing. It needs to be our focus and our goal. He says, you need to only do this. This is the key. And then he uses this term conduct. And conduct was used in connection as a citizen that brought honor to his or her place of citizenship. Paul wanted to hear that these people in this church at Philippi represented Christ and represented the gospel well. Now, he has already gone through and we've looked at some of the different things that he's challenged them to do. And over the next three chapters after this of the book of Philippians, he will continue on to encourage them and to remind them of all they have in Christ, but also to challenge them in various areas of their life. But the key and the reason why is that they would be good representatives of Jesus Christ. And we are called to do the same thing. We're called to be representatives of Christ, that although we're not perfect, and none of us are or ever will be till we get to heaven, but we're called to represent him well. For people to say, you know, yeah, that person, they claim to be a follower of Christ, and they live a life that represents that well. In other passages, Paul challenges the people he was writing to have even their enemies not be able to cast question into their character. And we are called to do the same thing. Well, you're here this morning, and I'm sure many of you are just like me, where you say, you know, yeah, I want to represent Christ well, but there are so many times that I fail. How can I do a better job of that? How can I walk worthy of Christ? And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. How can we walk worthy of Christ? Paul had that same struggle. In fact, in Romans chapter 7, he writes and he says this. He says, you know, the things that I want to do, the things I want to do to honor Christ, so many times I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. But how do we walk worthy of Christ? In these four verses here in Philippians 1, we see that Paul shares some helps, some tips in how we can walk worthy of our position as followers of Christ, as we can walk worthy in our citizenship as those who are bound for heaven, as those forgiven by Jesus Christ. And we see that in verse 27, we walk worthy when we stand fast. He says this, that you stand fast in one spirit. To stand fast simply means that we hold our ground no matter the opposition. You know, it's much easier to honor God when we're with people who provide that positive peer pressure, encouraging us to do right, and people who are striving to do right themselves. And that's why we're challenged to grow together in Christ and to encourage each other. The Old Testament talks about iron sharpening iron, these things that we're to do to encourage and strengthen one another. But it's hard to honor God when the pressure is to do the opposite, and maybe there can even be persecution or rejection if we choose to do right, if we choose to follow Christ. Every one of us can think back, some of us further than others, to times as we were growing up in school and we had that peer pressure. Somebody said, hey, let's do this. And in our mind we're saying, that's not right. But do I really want to face that pressure if I stand for right? And we can all probably think of times where we said, I'm not going to do that. We can also all think of times when we gave in to the pressure and we went along with whatever the improper activity was that was brought up. We're to stand fast. Paul knew that the church in Philippi was facing and would continue to face persecution because they followed Christ, but they needed to stand fast. Their feet needed to be firmly planted and they weren't going to move. They needed to stand fast. Have you been involved in a tug of war? And growing up, I was small, short, and weak. So I was not the first person chosen for tug of war, but I remember one in particular, and I was near the front, and I was striving my best, but the other team was, they were much better than we were at tug of war. And I remember being pulled into the mud because we could not stand fast. But Paul was saying, listen, the persecution is coming. It's actually had been there and it will continue to come, but they needed to stand fast. And you say, John, yeah, that's pretty simple to hear, but it's really hard to do. So Paul continues on in verse 27. Not only do we stand fast, but we stand fast as we walk, and we walk worthy when we strive together. Verse 27 continues, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The word striving was an athletic term that emphasized the team working together with the same goal. It'd be easy for them to fight and bicker over minor issues, just like it's easy for Christians to do today. And if you look at churches that struggle and fall apart, usually it's over something that in the scope of what's truly important is very minor. The joke is, but unfortunately most jokes have a lot of truth to them, why did the church split? Well, they argued about the paint color in the fellowship room. Things that really are vital to eternity, or not. And it may not be the paint color in the fellowship room, but it's minor things, and Christians bicker over that, and they spend their time on things that truly aren't important. And Paul's saying, listen, let your conduct, your reflection of your citizenship, be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You stand fast and you do that as you work together. Be easy, and it is easy for them and for us to focus upon our own desires and to seek their own or our own glory. But they needed to work together with the focus and goal of the gospel being spread and Christ being honored. So we're to stand fast. How do we do that? We do that as we strive together. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verses 28 and following and says that we're to walk worthy as we are confident in God. Verse 28 says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. Paul recognized that they would fail in their goal of walking worthy when they trusted in their own abilities. Remember, as Paul said earlier in Romans chapter 7, the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do. The things that he didn't want to do, he did. And as we look at our world today, we wonder, how can we make a difference and how can we live a life worthy of the gospel? But we need to recognize that God is just as powerful today as he was in Bible times. We have to recognize that God is just as active today as he was in times past. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we find a story showing the importance of having our confidence in God. The king of Syria had made plans to attack Israel, and at this time in their history, Israel was beginning to fall apart, and they were pretty weak, and the Syrians were a very strong and up-and-coming nation. And so the Syrians were going to take over Israel. But it seemed like every time that the Syrians planned an attack, the Israelites were prepared. And the king of Syria became very angry because every attack they planned, what little forces the Israelites had, they knew the next move that the Syrians were going to make. And so the king of Syria gathered his advisors together and he said, so what's going on here? And the story is, it's really humorous in 2 Kings chapter 6 because one of his advisors said, well, the king of Israel is being warned by this prophet. His name is Elisha. And Elisha knows every move that we as the Syrians are making. And in fact, the advisor goes on to try to help the king understand this. And he said, this prophet of God knows what you whisper in your bedroom. Well, this made the king of Syria very mad. And so what he decided to do, he said, we're going to eliminate this prophet guy, this Elisha. And so he sent an incredibly powerful and large army to go and surround the town where Elisha lived. And so they went at night, and they were going to surround this town. And let's pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. It says, "Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city," this town where Elisha lived. "And when the servant of the man of God," Elisha's servant, "arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, Elisha, what shall we do?'" Now look in verse 16, Elisha's response. "So Elisha answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" And we'll stop there for just a second. I'm sure the servant was saying, excuse me, Elisha, it's you and I and the people of this city. We don't know if they're going to protect us or not, because Elisha wasn't necessarily the most popular man in Israel at the time. And look at this army. But Elisha goes on, it says, "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." What happened? God allowed the servant a glimpse of what Elisha had recognized, that God was more powerful than any army. And what happens in our lives when we're striving to be those heavenly citizens that we're called to be while we live this life on earth, but we struggle and we falter and we question, am I able to do it, and am I making any difference? God reminds us that it's His strength, His power, our confidence comes in Him and not in us. Paul continued on to let the Philippian believers know that they could consider it a privilege to suffer for Christ. He goes on and he says that in verse 29. What an honor. And then he goes in verse 30 and he reminds them that he is facing similar persecution as they're facing. Some had been threatened and some were even in prison, and Paul was writing from prison. They had heard, and many of them knew others who had become martyrs for the gospel of Christ. And so what is Paul doing as he says, it's a privilege to suffer for Christ? Does it mean we raise our hand, jump up and down, and say, here, pick me, choose me? That's not what he's saying. We shouldn't be excited about the pain, the difficulty, but we're excited to be able to stand with Christ no matter what the cost. And we like to look at what's going on in our world today and say, woe is me. But we really don't understand what it means to be persecuted for the gospel. We may have those around us who are like, yeah, whatever, or like, you're believing this bogus fallacy. But Paul and the people there were being threatened with complete rejection by family and society, even imprisonment or death. But Paul could say it was an honor to suffer because it meant that they were able to stand with their Savior and to walk worthy of the gospel that they were called to follow. We have the same challenge today. Although at this time our persecution is so minor compared to their persecution, it's still very hard. But are we willing to stand fast recognizing that takes place as we strive together, we work together, and recognizing that it's through the power of God that we're called to do it. You know, we're celebrating Palm Sunday, and you've probably wondered why, okay, this is Palm Sunday, and that doesn't come from Philippians chapter 1. Well, this passage fits perfectly into what was taking place in what we call the beginning of Easter week. Because the people of Jesus' day, the disciples and those who were following him, had the same challenge that those people in Philippi had, and that we have. And that's, are we willing to stand fast? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to be worthy of the calling of being followers of Jesus Christ? And picture what took place. In Matthew chapter 21, we see Jesus coming in what we call the triumphal entry. Matthew chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. And it says, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And things are looking so good. And the pressure was to, hey, come and join us and celebrate. And I'm sure the disciples that day were like, whoa, this is great. We've been doing this for over 3 years now. And finally, the coronation. Incredible. And the place was a madhouse because people were preparing for the special celebration as they celebrated Passover. People from all over were coming to Jerusalem. It was one of the pilgrimage feasts where they would come together. And so the people were already coming. The streets were filled. Even the small villages outside of Jerusalem were incorporated into it because they needed more place for people. And so as the disciples were saying, yes, for these 3+ years we've been fighting, and now it's finally time. And the people were shouting out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But the parade ended, and the week continued, and things changed. Because it went from, let's celebrate the triumphal entry as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, to the whispers which became louder and louder, led by the religious leaders. But they were joined in by the masses to eventually say, crucify him. And some of those same people that on Palm Sunday were coronating the king, we're now clamoring for a cross. And the disciples, who I'm sure on Sunday were overjoyed and finally saying, it's been worth all the work and he's going to be coronated, fled in fear. Things changed. And you know, those same ones that had celebrated his coronation called for the cross or fled in fear. And the disciples and the other followers of Christ were not walking worthy of the Christ that they followed. But also, I don't want us to stop there. And obviously, next week we'll celebrate not only the crucifixion as Jesus gives us victory over sin, but the resurrection as Jesus gives us victory over death. But the story of the gospel and the story of those disciples and other followers of Christ didn't end there, because the book of Acts is filled with amazing stories of them standing fast, of them in the face of incredible persecution, were willing to stand for Jesus Christ and honor their citizenship. And as you know, all those disciples, Judas excluded, were persecuted, even killed for the gospel, martyred for their faith. And many others. What made the difference between that week where they eventually either fled in fear or called out for his crucifixion, and just a short time later when they said, you can throw us in prison or you can kill us, but we're not going to stop sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? It was those things that Paul is speaking of here in Philippians chapter 1. The challenge to walk worthy by standing fast. And that is done as we strive together and as we trust God. That is what we're called to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. And thank you that as we recognize all we have in Jesus Christ, and as we celebrate communion, the sacrifice that you gave in sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins, Lord, help us to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. Help us to stand fast, to strive together to trust you, recognizing that in that we can walk worthy. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.